All right, welcome in. We've got we're going to be doing some fun stuff here, and I appreciate my new good friend Kyle Krupansky for being like the guinea pig of this kind of deal. This is like the whole show special feature. We love our sponsors on the show. I mean, we can't do live and local radio without our sponsors. And fortunately for us, Foundation Sports Nutrition, you guys just joined us as a sponsor of the whole show, and we absolutely love it. Had a chance to sit down with you on the show, also in your shop a little bit. And you have a really interesting story, man. So my brain started cooking, thinking, we're not going to be able to get your story out in a 15, 20-minute segment interrupted by commercials. So wanted to take this opportunity to get you in the podcast studio, man.
I love it, man. This should be a blast. I'm always an open book with myself, so it should be a whole lot of fun to talk about all the process of how I got here and kind of what we do at Foundations.
I think one of my favorite things about doing live and local radio is obviously we work with businesses and seeing small businesses and how they got their start. Why they got into this certain business. Was it always a dream of theirs, or did something in their life shift where, wow, this became passion, but also you turned it into a business? And I love that side of it. So we're going to kind of break into that. I first found you, Kyle, you were in the Greeley Lifestyle magazine, I believe.
Yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And I read the article on you and thought, man, this is a really unique business. Definitely want to reach out. So of course I did. And then got a chance to buzz by and meet with you, go through a couple of things. Sounds like we've got a lot of the same interests, too, as far as like medieval fantasy and all that stuff.
All the nerd stuff.
But you started talking about your story a little bit. And so I want to get into this. Obviously, Foundation Sports Nutrition, you're selling, obviously, health products. You know, we'll get into some of the specifics on that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so important this day and age because we are inundated with online. You go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, you're getting ads nonstop. Oh, you want to lose 30 pounds? Here's a miracle drug. And oh, I'm lifting weights. I want to start taking some protein. Well, there's something in Walmart. I'll just go grab that. That should be fine. Or I get online. I think businesses like yours are just so important because health is so, I mean, we're talking about it more than we've ever talked about it, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're being thrown different products, different ideas, without people knowing you, your body type, or actually anything about you. And that's where you come in.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously the world of influencers, right? You don't need to have any kind of background to be an influencer, and you can promote a product, say whatever you want to, which is kind of the unique thing about nutrition, right? Nutrition is a very gray area of science. There's 1,000 different ways that you can do it right. There's a lot of different ways to do it wrong. So having somebody with a dietetics background that can actually like talk to you about your life, figure out what you want to get done. It's kind of like have an idea of what you've actually tried in the past, which sometimes is like the what have you been committed to trying versus mm-hmm. what have we like said we've tried. You know, if you actually like, you know, try it for 2 days and then you fall off the wagon, you haven't really tried that thing. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to kind of get into the psychology of what works for you, the types of foods that you like, and then just be able to, you know, kind of understand your body a little bit more, understand your goals a little bit more. And that's really what we try to like get to the ground level of, like, why do you want to even do it? You know, is mm-hmm. it a personal reason, or is somebody else that, you know, tells you need to do something?
Yeah, so, sure.
So sometimes that can be like the make or break piece of that is just you having your own personal goal. And then again, just figuring out how to do it for you and make it right, right? Make it right for your lifestyle, your routine, everything that goes into it.
Well, and that's what I love is it's not a one size fits all. I mean, you're working, because obviously Foundation Sports Nutrition, you're also an owner of Double Diamond CrossFit,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So it's all in the same hub over there, right across from, I always say it's right across from Sonic, and then it's so bad because it's Sonic and then all this health stuff.
Yeah. Sorry, it's the same landmark I use, man. Everybody knows where it is.
But, you know, you have bodybuilders, you have guys and gals that are going to run marathons.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have that person that's like, man, I got 20 minutes a day that I just want to sharpen up a little bit. I just want to exercise. I want to get the body moving a little bit.
Yep.
But also I want to add to that by taking some kind of protein or supplement or vitamin, what have you. And that's what I really appreciate. Because sometimes you can go into a gym, and if they're selling products, it can be intimidating because you see all the Arnolds over there, and they're working out, lifting, and doing the same things. And you're like, man, I don't even belong here. I shouldn't be taking that stuff.
Right, right.
And that's where you guys have a unique, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of deal.
Yeah, which, you know, in all honesty, it's kind of why I got into the CrossFit side also. Like, I get to train athletes that, like my youngest athlete that I've had, you know, had is 9 years old. She's 19 now. She's been there for 10 years.
Still so going to love that.
She's been CrossFitting for more than half of her life, and she's one of our coaches now. So, you know, I had her when she was nine. I've had, I think we've got 88 was our oldest athlete, or has been our oldest athlete over the time I've been doing it. So, yeah, it's like have a wide range of people.
88, that's awesome.
And it's crazy, you know, just, you know, and really at that point, it's just like, can we still sit down and stand up correctly, right? Can we, you know, can we raise our arms overhead? You know, like doing all the basic movement stuff. So, you know, with foundations, it ties in a lot to like the all-encompassing, like we'll say all-encompassing athlete, but like it's all of us, right? Do we want to have better energy? Do we want to feel a little bit better? Do we want our joints to be a little bit more fluid throughout the day? Do we want to burn fat faster or build muscle faster, right? So anyway, sometimes we only have that 30 minutes, and that's where the supplement game does kind of come into play of like, you know, you can't really do it without the nutrition base in there, but supplements will make things go a little faster, right? So if we've only got 30, 45 minutes to do a workout, right, what can we do to kind of like charge the system up a little bit more and make it do what we want it to quicker than having 2 hours to work out?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So sometimes that'll just, you know, again, it can kind of like pep things up a little bit for us.
Have you always been into this? Because again, talking to you for 10 minutes at your store, I mean, there's so much information that you have.
Right.
I mean, there on every product, you're so educated about it. You could, I mean, I could randomly select a product and you can go into all the details and why that might not work for my body type or why it would. And that amazes me. Has this always been a dream of yours to both foundation, sports nutrition, max muscle too, and I know that's your history, and Double Diamond CrossFit. Have you always been into that stuff?
Yeah. You know, I've been an athlete my entire life, but I was very overweight when I was a kid. So that's always kind of the unique story that kind of shocks people.
Like what age were?
So I was like 215 pounds when I was 11. Hmm. And so like just to play football at that age, you had to be under a 200 pound weight limit. So I had to lose 15 pounds just to like be able to play football. Hmm. And so I'd lost some weight. Then, you know, it was kind of when Atkins diet got really big. So my parents were super supportive and kind of like kicked onto the Atkins bandwagon. And that year I ended up losing like 75 pounds.
Wow.
So, you know, by the time that next summer rolled around, you know, it had gone from like being like the fat kid to like, I mean, I was like, you know, kind of the athlete that I was. Even when I was bigger, I was always a really good athlete. So I played football and baseball my whole life. And so to be able to kind of like, for lack of a better way of putting it, like become the athlete that I always knew I was, right? And like actually look like that was pretty cool. It was a kind of a weird realization thing for me. But like ever since then, I was always really into like, you know, we had like a little like mini home gym in the basement. So I'd work out for, you know, hour and a half pretty much every single night. And that was pretty much from when I was like 12 years old on.
So were you pretty, so you said around 11, you were over the 200 pound mark. Was that like a slow build as you're in your really young days, kind of up to that point?
I mean, I was big pretty much my entire life. So,
and then something you said it, like you were still athletic, then there was that part of you that says even at a very young age, you know, I want to make some changes early. Yeah.
You know, is that like instinct thing of like, you kind of know like what's underneath all of like the fluff, which, you know, we were the family that like, you know, at the grocery store, there was like 10 cases of sodas on the bottom of the cart and then like all of the sugary things in the top of the cart. So, you know, it was very like normal, like American diet kind of thing. So, you know, there's nothing that's, you know, it's not like it was like unusual how we got there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, my whole family was overweight when I was growing up. So, you know, it's easy to see how and why it happened. So, it's kind of a unique shift to be able to like, you know, I'd say at 12 years old, kind of be like, I want to make that change for myself.
It's so very rare.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really see that a lot at that youth side. You obviously, kids at that age don't necessarily want to be overweight, but being able to find, you know, dedicate yourself and make changes at that age, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, again, like having parents that fully supported it was like the huge thing for sure. So, you know, it was cool that my dad like built out a little mini home gym for us, and both my parents were really cool about getting on board with the Atkins diet thing. So
that is awesome. Yeah. Okay. So you're going through that. You start to get in better shape. You're playing football. You're the athlete you wanted to be. Then did you go to high school around here, Kyle?
I'm from Louisville originally. So
okay.
I went to Monarch High School.
Okay.
So way more football school than baseball school. So I stopped playing baseball in high school. I mean, we honestly, like my 4 years there, we went through, I think, 3 different baseball coaches. So it was a little bit in flux with the baseball program. But, you know, it was a big football school. So, you know, like we won state championship my sophomore year. And then, you know, we had kind of an undefeated regular season team the other 2 years, my junior and senior year. So
what was your position?
I was linebacker and fullback.
Nice.
Yep.
That was a tough nose positions right there, man.
Like, yeah, linebacker was always, that was always the one for me.
Well, especially on offense, though, like playing fullback. It's a pretty selfless position there.
So Monarch's all, so it's all double wing. So you literally just like we run left and we run right and the fullback just goes and kicks out every single play. So
did you love that part?
It was a blast, man. You're just like a battering ram on offense. So,
and I was I played small town high school and I blocking was just not in my, I was a little guy too. So blocking for me was like,
throw yourself in somebody's legs and hope for the best.
Yeah, I'm going to make a business decision here. I got to watch out for my college career that never happened.
Exactly.
Okay, so obviously you played sports. You're an athlete.
Nope.
What happened after high school?
So I went to School of Mines and played football for really my first year there.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, which, you know, I loved that. That was kind of fun. Sometimes I tell people this story. So I actually had an offer at Harvard to play football and turned it down. Sorry if anybody from Boston is listening to this, but I didn't want to live in Boston for 4 years. So that was pretty much my, like, I don't want to go to Harvard.
What are the, obviously, to go to any college and play sports, you got to be pretty good at sports or that sport. But you also at Harvard, don't you have to have a really high GPA? School of Mines, same thing.
Yeah, same deal.
So pretty smart dude over here.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into math and science, so like numbers really just click with me really fast.
That is
so.
The complete opposite of my situation. I was a big lunch recess guy,
nice.
Kyle.
Which, yeah. I mean, recess is great too. Is that in lunch, one of my favorite times of the day. So
ended up not going to Harvard, but man,
I School of Mines, which, you know, in terms of engineering was, I mean, still is. I mean, phenomenal engineering school. I loved every second of going to School of Mines also. It was a blast. So.
And that's what you were focused on was the engineering
stuff. Yeah, which, I mean, School of Mines, pretty much, you get a little economics there if you want to, like, do something other than engineering. But other than that, it's just different focuses of engineering. So, you know, you get in, you immediately start taking all of your, like, core engineering classes, and then you go into your specialty, you know, really within second year, most people kind of like make their decision on where they want to go. So I did civil engineering. So I was, it was kind of like the way I kind of see it is like project management version of engineering, right? You get a little taste of like chemical engineering, mechanical engineering, like, and you kind of like, you can kind of organize all the people. So, for me, I played football my first year there. Got a pretty bad concussion and then also had like a shoulder separation. So that for me was kind of like I don't know if it's really worth beating up my body as much. The concussion I got kind of messed with my eyesight a little bit.
Wow.
So that was my immediate, like, I don't really want to mess with that too much.
It's so. And what year was that?
My first year there.
No. So,
you're like 2000. So 2006 was when the actual concussion happened.
It seems like, honestly, from that point, there are more and more athletes like, I love being competitive and I love doing this stuff, but football specifically,
right?
Is it worth it? And I think a lot of guys, you have to have a pretty good idea that you are going to go pro.
Oh,
and
guys
might
know,
be like,
you got to know there's a lot of millions of dollars down the road.
Yes.
To, like, even
to keep doing
to
it.
Justify that being worth it. So yeah, it's tough when that's not quite there, but also, you know, like you have an engineering background and you know, engineers can also make that kind of money. So, you know, you have the side of things where, like, you know, your brain's going to make you that much money or, you know, and very low chance of your body making you that money. So,
100%. Yeah. So done with the football at that point, but still going to School of Mines the next couple of years.
Yep. Yeah, and so, yep, 4 years down the road, and actually ended up graduating first in my class. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, like,
dude,
good,
I didn't know this.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, and again, talking to you for 5 minutes and hearing, because people think like Max Muscle, it's just guys that are working out that are selling you products.
Oh, yeah.
But with you, and again, now it all kind of, it's starting to kind of make sense. You understand the real science behind all of this.
Oh, yeah. And so, I mean, the unique thing for me at School of Mines was like that stuff came really natural and really easy to me. So I didn't really study a lot. I kind of was able to coast through a lot of it. And so I spent a lot of my time actually studying nutrition, and like I love to cook and bake. So like I literally would like spend most of my time like cooking healthy and trying different recipes out. So like I always knew that was a passion thing for me. And when you're like in engineering and you're like, all right, engineering or nutrition. And then, you know, like everybody in the engineering world is like, here's what you're making coming out of college and here's what you make down the road. So you look at like, you know, an industry where there's a massive amount of money than industry where there's not a massive amount of money with nutrition generally, right? It's kind of, it's, you know, it's always weird when you're 20 years old trying to make those business decisions, right?
Yeah.
I have this thing that I'm mega passionate about and then this thing that I'm really good at that could make me a lot of money. And so for me, that would, you know, that was always kind of in the back of my mind of like, what do I really want to do, right? Engineering, like, I know I'm really not going to be around all that many people. You know, I'm going to be in a machine shop or in front of a computer a lot. You know, versus like nutrition and athletics, I get to be around people a lot, right? Which, you know, kind of unique for an engineer. Like I was pretty personable anyway, right? So playing sports my whole life, I was used to being around groups and kind of like leading groups of people. So yeah, the engineering world is very like, we'll call it more of like an isolated field. So that was always kind of a unique, like, what do I want to do with my life feeling too? So as I got to my last year in college, my mom was an alcoholic growing up. So like not destructive necessarily. I don't know if that's like a good way to put it, but she just have like a drink in her hand all day long.
Yeah.
Right. And that was kind of like just what she did. She'd wake up, she'd make a drink, she'd sip on it all day long. And that was, you know, well, I guess we all have our kind of coping mechanisms. That was kind of hers, but you know, she was on antidepressants and she was like 14 years old. You know, always kind of, you know, always had that in her system, had alcohol in her system a lot. And 48 years old, she ended up liver failure, kidney failure from just consistent alcohol going in her body. So
that was
January of my last semester there. So like the start of my last semester that she passed away. So that was kind of like a, you know, that was a trigger thing for me of like, now's the time to decide what I want to do with my life. You know, my mom was like a phenomenal mom. She was best mom I could ever ask for, hands down. And like, there's not a chance anybody would ever convince me otherwise of that, regardless of the alcohol at all. But she like, she kind of lived for like me and my two brothers. Like that was her life.
Yeah.
So as we all started to grow up and got to college and she was just kind of at home by herself, she didn't have hobbies. She didn't really have passions that she really had that she did throughout the day. So that was the thing for me. It was like, I need to do what I'm passionate about. Like I can figure things out on the financial side and, you know, whatever it comes down to in terms of like what I'm going to do with my life. But I need to make sure I'm passionate about it. I want to make sure that like, for me, I'm happy with what I do every single day, that I'm not like grinding through every single day wondering like, is this for me? You know, if I'm stuck doing engineering, regardless of how good I am at it, right? It wasn't something where I wanted to just be stuck in that, wondering if I should have gone another path or if I'm actually truly happy doing it.
It's probably fair to say, you know, with your mom passing away at the age of 48, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yep.
There's probably a moment there where, it all hits us at some point where it's like, life is so short. Do I want to go do this desk job where, yeah, I'm smart, I'm good at it, and I can make a lot of money, but then maybe I'm not having fun, I'm not passionate about it, and then you look at your mom and say, wow, just like that.
Oh, yeah.
It can change so quickly.
Yeah, and you know, if I look at like I'm going to go be an engineer for 25 years and make a ton of money, but like who knows, at 48 years old, maybe that could be the end of the line. Like I would only have a couple years to spend my money, you know, and I worked – yeah, you know, with engineering life, obviously, like that's something where like I'm going to commit that 25 years to engineering and work, you know, like there's not that much freedom with engineering, right? You know, there's a reason they make so much money. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of constant work.
Yeah.
Generally, it'll take your home, you know, your work home with you. And you know, that's how it's going to go. So
with the alcohol thing, was that ever a problem for you?
Oh, no. I don't even know like the best way to describe this to people. I knew from when I was like 10 years old that I was never going to drink. And so like, yeah, it's not like, my mom wasn't like, you know, crazy alcoholic getting drunk every single night. You know, I had like the visuals of like, yeah, my mom would have a drink all the time, but like my dad drank beer at the end of the day too. So it's not like, it's not like it was like out of the normal, right? There wasn't anything like traumatic that I saw when I was 10 years old, but like, I was just kind of knew that I didn't want to do it. You know, it just wasn't something that appealed to me in any way. you know, it's just like most of us growing up, like my dad would give us like little sips of beer, like, you know, when we were a little bit older. But yeah, like, literally the taste was always terrible to me.
And just so, never got into it.
It's just something I was like, I don't want this.
Even when you went to college and never really got into it.
Maybe it was the hyper-focus on sports and not wanting to do anything to mess it up. But like, you know, it was just never anything that really clicked with me. So that was kind of just it for me.
But the health portion of this has always been like a major part of your life.
Yeah, and that's a huge focus for me too. You know, I was 12 years old when I really started to get focused on health and nutrition, kind of understand how calories and, you know, different sugars affected me. And like, doing like the Atkins thing was kind of unique for me initially. Like, yeah, at 11, 12 years old, it's kind of tough to be like, hey, we're going to eliminate carbs entirely from your diet. Because it took me like the better part of 5 or 6 years before I was like, can I eat this again?
So you've been like in this dedication mode.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Before you were a teenager.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever get tired of it?
Oh, I love it.
You're addicted to
like,
that.
All right. So like, I love the routine of it and I know enough about it. And I know like, I understand the process of like how calories work and how they interact in my body enough to like know how I can switch up my foods. You know, like I eat things that I absolutely love to eat throughout the day. So it's not like a restrictive thing for me. So like, I don't do like Atkins or keto diet really right now. But, like, I wouldn't be afraid of doing it. Like, I love cheese and eggs and meats and, you know, all that good stuff. So, you know, you can make all these, like, really good-tasting meal plans out of those things and have no issues with it. Enjoy your foods. And we all have things that we, like, love to eat, you know, and it's all going to be different for whoever we are. So, you know, for me, I just get to, like, pair things up differently. And, you know, for me, like, obviously, like, you know, I can change my diet up on the fly, right? But I've got somebody that doesn't really understand the nutrition yet or they don't, like, understand, like, how the foods are interacting. Like, they'll follow just a very like set plan and we'll change those up. Like, I have the freedom where like, obviously I can be like, all right, I'm gonna have breakfast in this mold today and then I'm gonna have lunch in this mold and, you know, have my snacks however I want to. And like the next day can be entirely different if I want it to be. I just happen to be really routine. So
it's not a hard thing. Once you really develop a routine like that, it can be, you know, you start to feel so good and it becomes like a different kind of high there.
You kind of get addicted to like how good your body feels. And that's, you know, I tell people this all the time. You know, if you eat McDonald's every single day, like you're going to end up like, you're not going to feel good. You know, you're setting your bar at like a lower base.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't have any reference of what better feels like though, and that's your only reference, that feels great to you. You know, like that is normal.
Yeah.
If you eat good and you feel your body the right way and you actually see what like peak performance feels like, and then you go back to kind of eating the junk every single day, you feel terrible. You feel like trash. So, but like if you had never gone to that like peak eating plan before, you'd never even realize how bad the other stuff makes you feel.
When did you get your first job in the nutrition industry?
That was with Max Muscle.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had,
here in Greeley?
Yeah. So I did. So went through my whole engineering degree, so I finished that up, and then immediately came up to CSU for my dietetics degree. And so once I started at CSU, I kind of did like a little bit of personal training stuff. I mean, technically, I guess, like I sold Herbalife stuff for like a little while. And then when I got up to CSU, I kind of reached out to the head coach of the baseball team there.
Okay.
And just asked them if they wanted just essentially like a free strength and conditioning coach. And they were all about it. They loved it. So, I mean, being a club team, but an extremely high level club team was really fun. I mean, we had some phenomenal athletes on that team. So like to be a club team that like goes and wins national championships pretty much every year was a pretty cool thing for me to be able to have. Cause it was
you said, hey, I want to just do this for free.
I initially went up to CSU to get a combined dietetics and sports exercise master's degree. And like the semester I got up there, they kind of just ditched the program because there wasn't enough interest in it. So ended up just being a second bachelor's in dietetics. But I knew like for me, I'm like in this specifically to do the sports exercise stuff too. So that was more of like for me where like I got my own personal training certification and then reached out to like do the exercise stuff with those athletes, right? So with college athletes. So my big goal at that point was like I wanted to be like the sports dietitian for like the Rockies or the Broncos. So like for me, I was like, I want to do this with a professional team. So doing it at the college level was kind of a fun in for me. So I got to learn the dietetics side in school, but then essentially just like do the exercise side and do the training side for myself. So I got to which is cool because I got to kind of adapt whatever I wanted to, right? The club team let me do literally whatever I wanted to. Yeah, I'd get the guys up at 5 in the morning, we'd go to the, you know, go to the rec center, and we would do, honestly, for lack of a better, you know, way of putting it, we did CrossFit workouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had them do a ton of, like, interval training stuff. We did all of our strength training routine. So it was kind of cool because that was really before I even ever, like, knew CrossFit was a thing. So it was a unique feel to it. All the baseball players, I mean, I think they hated it but also loved it at the same time. They got phenomenal – I mean, huge results out of it. So it was cool to be able to see how well that applied to college athletes and how much, you know, decrease in injury rates we got, how much more strength we got, how much more speed we got. So that was fun for me to be able to see that before I ever, you know, kind of knew CrossFit was around. And then later in life, you know, I get into like actual CrossFit and get to train it myself also.
Well, and you probably use some of what you did on the baseball side for CrossFit because, again, you know, because we talk to a lot of Division I athletes that come in here, and it's not like – they go in and work on their curls and they sharpen up their biceps. Yeah. No, I got one guy, great basketball player for UNC. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know if he does any kind of like direct bicep work. I mean, it's a lot of back, a lot of quads, a lot of shoulder stuff.
It's all compound stuff. Yeah.
So I would imagine that process taught you a lot of these guys don't need to look like Tim Tebow or Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever. These guys need to have the right body and the right workouts to help them hit a baseball.
Yeah, I mean, it's all functional movement. And then baseball especially. So, like, baseball is my first love. So, always will be. Like, I played football in college, but baseball will forever be my favorite sport. And, like, so, like, understand the power production and, like, you know, rotational movement especially. Like, I love everything about, like, what goes into the mechanics of baseball. Like, I love the sport of baseball. So to be able to, like, train college athletes in that and see how functional those movements specifically have to be is, I mean, that was super cool that was the sport that I was able to train when I was in college also. You know, to be able to, like, tie that in and look at all of the functional fitness piece of that. Like, it ties in all of it, right? You have to sprint. You have to have endurance. You have to be able, you know, able to produce power in different planes. So for me, that was really cool to get that lead in to now functional fitness, CrossFit, you know, being able to say, like, all right, there isn't really a sport that applies to what we do with CrossFit any more than baseball, right? That, you know, they're super unique with each other. So.
Do you get a lot of athletes coming in, high school athletes, maybe even college? I know college guys are kind of tied up with whatever it is, their strength.
They kind of have their own thing.
Right, but I would imagine you're getting a lot of high school guys coming in, whether it's to do CrossFit or just to, hey, they're lifting at home, they're lifting at a different gym, whatever, but they come to you to try to maybe talk about those different supplements or even different type of workouts that they can do.
Yeah, and we get, you know, like the CrossFit side, we'll get a lot more of them on the off season that are trying to just improve, like, overall athleticism, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the unique thing. Once you get to the college level of sports, it's way more specific what you train, right? You specifically only train the movements that make you the best version of that athlete. And then even different, you know, different positions in football or baseball or, you know, any sport, right? You need to be perfect for that position, right? So, you know, CrossFit that you kind of dedicate to training full body athleticism is amazing for off-season stuff. But, like, if I had a college athlete that, you know, there was a linebacker, let's say, right, I would train that person extremely specific for being the best linebacker possible, right? Wouldn't necessarily be, like, all-encompassing, you know, like, CrossFit-style training. There would be an entirely different routine that I'd put that athlete through. So, usually, again, I get a lot of high school athletes that, like, they just need to be better athletes. You know, which is awesome. I love seeing that because, like, year after year, you see how much better they do on the, you know, on the football field, baseball field. We've had volleyball players, soccer players, right? So, and I even got people that do, like, competitive horse riding that will be like, I'm so much better at this thing since I started doing CrossFit.
Wow.
So, you know, I literally just had, you know, one of my athletes right now does, like, circus performance stuff. And she hasn't done it for a couple years, but, like, she just kicked back in the other weekend and did her performance totally great and had, you know, amazing abilities that, like, you know, even with a couple years of, like, not really doing it, just training CrossFit for the last, you know, better part of a year, she was able to go and, like, do all of that stuff extremely well. So it's kind of cool to be able to see different styles of athleticism and different, you know, performance things, event things, sports, whatever it is that people just can function better doing.
When they come to you and it is something unique, because again, hey, if I come to you and I say, man, I want to be better at baseball, you're going to easily be able to just go back to everything that you went through.
Yeah.
But if I'm coming to you saying, hey, I'm in the circus.
Yeah.
What do you do with that? Do you go back and research, or do you just kind of this idea of what they're going to need?
Yeah, my engineering brain works pretty unique when I do that. So I'll have people, I've had dancers that there might not be a worse dancer than me, but like I can watch somebody dance and like see moves they struggle with and kind of like understand the mechanics to what's going to make them better. So I got to see like what piece of that movement they struggle with also. So, you know, once you kind of see bodies as just a machine, it's pretty easy to go ahead and take that and say, like, all right, like this muscle's weak. This needs to get a little bit stronger. You're not flexible enough here. And then start to create like a plan to make those things happen, right? And you get unique things like, you know, let's say circus performing or dancing, right? There's like a unique level of flexibility that needs to go in there, right? It's not a normal flexibility that the everyday person has. So then you have to create new exercises and new ways to like put a body into that position and get it to it like essentially a further range of motion than like what a normal person would go to, right? And so, but that's specific to that high performance thing. It's like you have to be able to do this at 10 times higher level than the normal person does, you know.
Wow.
Or otherwise you don't do your sport that well, right? So like, you know, say like a football player, right? I have to make it so they can produce power at a much higher rate, faster, and weigh more pounds than average person that, you know, maybe has a good deadlift or a good clean weight, right? I have to make that athlete be significantly better than average, right?
Are you seeing any more, as you're kind of talking, I'm thinking of different sports, it seems like hockey is starting to pick up
around,
specifically around Northern Colorado. Mm-hmm. We've seen some kind of offshoot program start up. Yep. Obviously, there's a lot of news around the Colorado Eagles maybe coming to Greeley. Are you seeing more hockey guys come in?
Not yet, but I'm sure there's going to be more of it. Yeah, I mean, if the Eagles thing goes through, then, like, you know, I have to imagine we're going to get a whole lot more in Greeley.
Yeah, because they're trying to push the whole youth thing, getting different sheets of ice, not just for the Eagles, but for the youth movement. So I would imagine that's something that's going to pick up.
Which, I've been lucky enough to know a lot of people. So, like, some of my best friends and athletes that I've had at the gym are hockey coaches. So, I've gotten to work with youth hockey kids and for the most part on the nutrition side, which again is super cool. I love working with youth sports with nutrition.
Yeah.
You know, it comes down to the parents a lot, but like it is honestly like really unique to me. Obviously the background that I have to be in a room with 12 and 13 and 14 year old kids and do nutrition with them and see the quality of questions that actually can come out. You know, there's also, you know, offhand comments and stuff that all 12 and 13 year olds are going to say.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, like to have some really good quality nutrition conversations at that age, knowing that that's kind of for me when I started to get into it, is always super unique and cool for me.
Do you see more, like, that's interesting you bring that up with kids, teenagers, or maybe not quite teenagers. Mm-hmm. Do you see there's just a more of an emphasis nowadays in your high school athletics to keep on your body, to make sure your body's good?
Yeah, there's more of it. There still needs to be way more of it. I mean, that truly is the biggest divider that you can have in a high school or a middle school athlete is like, how do they eat? I mean, you can look at 99% of all of these middle school, high school kids, right? And you see the number of them that actually focus on nutrition, right? It's going to be very slim, right? That truly actually focus on it, or their parents are able to like kind of like surround them with those foods, right? All of them are training these days, you know, no matter what. Like every kid that age is doing some sort of training, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they do training from, you know, 8, 9 years old on, right? You know, like my 9-year-old CrossFitter, you know. It just is more common these days for there to be more youth exercise programs, which is awesome. I love that. But like youth nutrition programs is just not there, right? And again, it does come down to the parents. So it's the parents changing lifestyle and routines. It's like, you know, them being able to convince their, you know, kids to change their lifestyle and routines a little bit. So, you know, that's the part that still has some work to go. But like, if we can get some of those athletes that focus on that, they improve 10 times faster than you know, the next athlete next to him.
Well, and just kind of go full circle. It's kind of like you talked about at the beginning. You know, your family at that point, you're buying sodas, you're doing all that stuff. And then when you're like, hey, I'm looking to make a change, the grocery shopping changes a little bit.
Everything
building you a gym so you can exercise. Yep. So it does take the dedication from the parents, because if they're going to just keep going down the same lifestyle, it's difficult for the kid to turn that away.
Oh, big time. And I mean, that's how we all are, right? You know, we can look at things as being hereditary for our bodies, but like, we grow up doing the things that our parents do, and they grow up doing the things that their parents did, and cooking the way, you know, same way they did, buying the same things they did. So so you get in kind of this mold of like, you know, nature versus nurture, you know, like this is how you were raised. Like, and that's, you know, if you can start to get a little bit of education in there for the parents, for the kids, right? The kids will chirp a little bit, right? So like, they'll retain whatever amount of information. So if I've got just the group of kids in like a seminar that I'm running, they'll go home, they'll relay some information. Like, usually if that's the case, I know I don't have a lot of parents at a seminar, I'm gonna be like, here's a handout, just give me to your parents.
Just make sure mom and dad get that.
Try to take as many mental notes as possible, but like, give this to your parents. Like, they'll start to ask questions a little bit more. You know, try to give them some more information so they can reach out to me whenever. But you know, if I can have parents in seminars, that is like, I mean, it's one of the absolute best things to ever experience, because like, the kids are more focused also, which is great. But to have like parents like legitimately ask questions that apply to the kids, but then apply to them also. You know, you can sometimes take an entire person's history of bad eating and like generational bad eating and start to like finally put a stopgap to that. You know, it could be, you know, 10 generations of bad eating habits and, you know, thinking you have hereditary heart disease, but like, it's how you guys ate. So to be able to be like, oh, you don't have to deal with diabetes and you don't have to deal with heart disease, like, and you can be the generation that stops that for future generations, is a really cool thing. It's like, you know, it's like a unique gift to be able to give to those families.
What do you say? You know, a lot of people will say, hey, you know, the tough part is the McDonald's, the cheap stuff, like the bad stuff. It's affordable. It's so cheap. It's easy to go get. I mean, you can get a gigantic bag at McDonald's, which, as we talked about, can absolutely destroy your body, but for very cheap.
Right.
Eating healthy sometimes can be difficult. But what do you say to that kind of thing?
I mean, realistically, fast food's more expensive these days anyway. You know, like 20 years ago, that was definitely the case, right? So I mean, you can go get $3 for a giant meal before, but now you pay $3 for just the thing of fries.
Yeah.
So, you know, like costs in food are just, they're going to be up, you know, like no matter which way you slice it. So you can look at quality of calories also, right? So, you know, I talk to people about like usable calories a lot. So like, if you're going to go and you're going to get McDonald's, for instance, right, you got a lot of filler stuff in there, right? So if I look at my body and I say, okay, I want to get 2,000 calories over the course of a day, right, I could go get that 2,000 calories really fast if I go get a McDonald's meal, right? But what my body's actually going to use, how it's going to feel in my body, right, is very slim compared to like the 2,000 calories, right? And it's not just about me getting 2,000 calories over the course of a day, right? I could get 1,000 calories of really good quality food and I will feel 100% better than if I get 2,000 calories of junk stuff in there, right? So, I mean, if you want to play the cost game, right, 1,000 calories worth of good quality food versus 2,000 calories of bad quality food probably costs the exact same.
That's interesting.
Feel better. You know, the reality of like making a sandwich at home on whole wheat bread, and you have like, you know, natural deli meat that doesn't have a bunch of preservatives and stuff in it, and a slice of cheese, right? That's going to be cheaper and way more convenient to make than having to drive to McDonald's, wait in a long line, get your food, maybe eat in the car, maybe go try to stop somewhere and eat for 5 minutes, right? You make a sandwich and like, you can do that in 3 minutes.
Well, you know? and after, you can get a burger or two or whatever at McDonald's. And why is it that an hour later, you're still kind of like hungry? You still don't feel.
Yeah, it's the usable calories.
So you just put a bunch of that junk in your body and you're still not satisfied.
Yeah. Actually, like, I have this one thing where like, sometimes I'll have people that they do fast food all the time before they come see me, right? And so we'll get on a nutrition plan. we'll go a month where we're eating good, clean foods. And then I'll like specifically have that person go back to McDonald's, but like, you know, stop and park, go in, order the meal, and then sit down and try to eat it slow.
Hmm.
And they'll take one bite and not want any bit, like no piece of it. Right, there's like film that gets stuck to your mouth. Like you don't like the taste of it. Like it just tastes off. Right. So like the actual habit of just going to this place, getting this thing and like inhaling
in your car. Yes.
Is like, it's really kind of what makes that what it is. But like, again, truly, it's not that fast. Like fast food is not that fast.
No.
You know, like you just don't have to exit your car. Mm-hmm. That's the only part about it.
Yeah. Right? That you park now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, oh, wait, it's not ready. You go park for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So like you're going to spend a ton of time doing that anyway. You know, like, you know, the action of just like living in your car and not having to exit the car is always like, you know, it's a weird mindset. Because when you really think about it, like you waste time going to fast food.
Yeah.
Right. Versus just prepping your food. Right. So, and you know, there's meal prep services. You can literally have a tray of a good meal to be able to have. Like
we have
available at the store. Right. So like I have one of my nutrition clients that has cooked meals for her family forever. And she, you know, reached out to me a month ago and she was like, hey, do you want to do this thing? Do you want to like try to actually do meal prep? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. We want to do meal prep. So that'd be a really cool thing to offer. So now she makes these amazing, delicious meals that we have prepped at the store, and you know, people order weekly, and like it's just a simple thing, right? And it's another thing that on the nutrition side, we get to be able to add in there as like, here's a very functional option, right? And it's not something where we're going to be like, here's $15 a meal.
Yeah.
And, you know, convenience has to cost a whole bunch, right? We do like $8 a meal and everything's happy, right? It's delicious foods. Amy does a really killer job with all the meals. And, you know, it's all on time and you know exactly what you're getting with it, right? The nutrition's on there. Like, I think everything's great.
What would you say, like, your number one, I hate to say, like, number one seller, mm-hmm. but what do people come to you for the most? Is it the CrossFit? Is it the supplements? Is it a diet plan? Is it a workout plan? Like, what's the number one thing?
So CrossFit's extremely consistent, right? CrossFit's just steady. Like, we have about 100 plus, like, a little bit over 100 members, and they're dedicated, consistent all the time. Word of mouth kind of drives the CrossFit side a little bit more than everything. So, you know, people bring their family members in or their friends in. You know, sometimes takes like a couple weeks for them to like coax them into coming in. Mm-hmm. But like once they do, they like realize that it's not as intimidating as like professional level CrossFit looks that everybody kind of sees online, right? So, you know, being able to do like daily functional fitness stuff is like very low intimidation, right? You have, you know, a class of 8 people. You have a coach that's going to crack jokes every once in a while and just like teach you how to do the right movements and right mm-hmm. mechanics, right? It's not like drill sergeant stuff. So so that's really consistent, steady side of things. The nutrition side, everybody comes in for, right? So like my CrossFit athletes want to know more about nutrition, right? Somebody who just wants to be more active with their kids, right, comes in, talks about nutrition, right? There's supplements, there's nutrition that will always apply to 100% of people. CrossFit's not going to apply to everybody, right? And even fitness in general is not necessarily going to apply to everybody. I would suggest people find a fitness thing that works for them, right?
Even
if it's just walking, right? Walking, hiking, whatever. Yeah, Colorado's great for that, obviously. But like something to be able to keep you mobile, keep your joints moving, keep your bones strong, right? So we don't have to deal with osteoporosis issues later in life. Like, that's the reason to do fitness, right? Fitness doesn't need to be this like gung-ho, I'm spending 4 hours in a gym thing. Right? It's just something to keep you active and make sure that like your blood is flowing the way you need it to, right? It's gonna improve your heart health. It's gonna help balance out blood sugar levels and prevent diabetes issues. Like all those things happen from exercise, right? The nutrition side takes 24 hours a day for us to be more locked in with it, right? So usually it's easier for people to say, I'm gonna commit an hour a day for 3 days a week to fitness and kind of have like the lower end of commitment side, mm-hmm. right? Start off real small, right? Versus saying, here's 24 hours a day with nutrition that I need to like follow a plan or follow a routine, right? So it takes longer to get people into the nutrition side. So sometimes like a supplement can help out, right? It could be a multivitamin, right? Like we were talking about before, like a multivitamin might just give somebody an energy kick and like make them realize that they can be a little bit more functional throughout the day. And we have other things that are like, you know, we have like fat burner, mood enhancer, energy drinks, you know, that, you know, they can, you know, somebody can, you know, like mix that up in the morning. They're like, oh, I actually feel pretty good now. Like, I feel like I got like that little bit of extra juice in the morning, right? So then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can be more active. I feel a little bit better. You know, some of them have like appetite suppressants in there, so you don't snack on like the sugary stuff throughout mm-hmm. the day, right? So we don't get these like bouncing blood sugar spikes constantly all day long, right? So when we start to kind of like get into like specific supplements or just overall nutrition, right, that's the part that 100% of everybody can benefit from, and the part that, like, for me, I try to really lead everybody into as much as I can.
As we're kind of wrapping this one up, Kyle, what does a cheat day look like? The biggest cheat day.
Oh, for me?
For you. What does that look like?
Sometimes I'll eat a whole large pizza. Maybe there's a little bit more into it other than that.
What kind of place?
I love Empire State.
Okay.
Love it. I do Roma's a lot too. As you get meatball sliders and a whole pizza at Roma's. If I do Roma's, Empire State, I'll just get a bigger pizza. But
how often do you do a cheat day like
I usually
that?
I do a cheat meal every week. Yeah.
Every week?
Yeah. It's kind of like
something to look forward to.
Call it a recharge meal instead. But yeah, as long as there's cream cheese on the pizza, that's gold right there. So if anybody hasn't had that before, like hopefully in Colorado you've had that before, but like cream cheese, it belongs on every single pizza, no matter what it is.
I'm one of those guys that I'm not picky at all when it comes to pizza. So
I pretty much eat any kind of pizza.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good to hear you're human too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You got to enjoy it, right?
But I mean, man, you've had such a great, like, School of Mines. You go graduate from there, top of your class. Mm-hmm. Then you go to CSU. You get another degree. You're donating your time to work with the baseball team. Then you're working in Max Muscle. Then you're learning more and more about that. And then you open up these two awesome businesses here in Greeley with Double Diamond CrossFit and Foundation Sports Nutrition. It's a really cool story, man. And I love to see like how you've evolved in your fitness journey at a very young age. Mm-hmm. You've had obviously some tough situations happen to you with the loss of your lovely mother.
No.
And seeing kind of, wow, 48 years old, I want to do something I'm happy about and passionate about. And you've certainly found that, man.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a wild ride, but it's been fun. And yeah, you know, the part of this of like just making that decision at 21 years old, really, to do what I'm passionate about. I'm like, every decision that I've made along the way is like, am I passionate about that thing? So,
yeah,
that's something I talk to a ton of people about that, and just be able to say like, don't overthink things too much. Like, are you happy with the decision? Like, does your gut feel good with it? Like, you'll be able to make it work no matter what, right? So, you know, you figure out the things that you love and just run with it.
You mentioned over 100 people working out at Double Diamond CrossFit. Do you have openings still? Like, people get in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can always get more people.
What's the best way of going about doing that if they want to get involved?
Oh, honestly, we will always do this. We've always done this. You know, some gyms kind of have moved away from it, but we do a free week of classes. So,
nice.
You could literally stop in and just chat and look at the spot anytime you want. Sometimes that's a way to just feel comfortable with it. So it's kind of cool because you can see the supplement store and you can see the gym and kind of like everything in there. We've got it. Yeah, we've got a massage therapist, amazing massage therapist that rents out a couple units from us in the same building. So, it's kind of cool to be able to tie in a whole bunch of like the entire like health and wellness world. But
it's like a little hub there where you can get everything.
It's awesome. Yeah, we've got a space where like we've got people that train Olympic lifting also. So if anybody's looking for like really unique, just like specific skill set of like we want to train Olympic lifting, we've got a couple really killer coaches that do that at Evolution Barbell. But like for the CrossFit side, you can always just stop in. We have health waivers to fill out and you get a free week to just try it out. We don't even take credit card info right off the bat. We just want to like make sure you see what a week looks like so you can see that the workouts are what you want. The class times work out for you. If you have up to 9 classes a day. So there's always options. Make sure you like the people, make sure you like the coaching atmosphere, like all of it. So CrossFit's still new, even though it's been around for a long time now. But like a lot of people haven't tried it. So we like to do a free week to like just get a little bit of like, here's what it's all about.
Can they set their own schedules with this or is this something?
CrossFit?
Yeah.
So we have set times throughout the day, which again, having 9 classes throughout the day.
Right.
Yeah, we got to be able to like structure the class.
Sure.
So you're getting personal trained, but you're in a group setting, you know? So you've got generally 8 to 10 people in a class. And so like as a coach, I'm going to be floating around from person to person doing a lot of particulars. Like we'll do some warm-up stuff where like it's the whole group doing it together, but then we'll kick into like, here's some individual breakout stuff. So you get a lot of, you had a lot of one-on-one time as well, but it's not like you just come in at, you know, 8:37 and
yeah, which makes sense. Workout,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
Kyle, man, and you're a busy guy. I've got to let you get back to coaching, man. Yeah, got to let you get right back to it. But, man, thank you for opening up. And just I kind of want to just go through your journey a little bit today and learn more about the business and the person behind the business, too. It's really fascinating, man.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's been a blast. And, I mean, again, it's always fun to talk about this stuff. So, yeah, it's we all got our own journey in life. So it's cool to be able to hear where people have been.
Yeah, I love it, man. Kyle, appreciate you, man. Love hearing your stuff. And a brand new sponsor here of the whole show. So we're excited about that. And look forward to working with you down the road, man.
Absolutely.
All right. A special edition of the whole show with the owner of Foundation Sports Nutrition, Kyle Krupanski. Just awesome stuff from you, man. And I'm looking forward to more conversations down the road.
I'm looking forward to it also.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, bro.
Yep.